I just read something that says she did it over a pair of leggings.
Of leggings.
Yeah. Well, hey, Lululemon leggings are nice.
Expensive leggings,
though.
Man.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, Lululemon is no joke.
Those are like $150 a pop.
But so. No, all jokes aside.
But no, definitely not worth this reaction.
With the picture that I just saw, the first thing that came to mind was Smash or Pass. I'm sorry.
All right.
Yeah, all right, we're terrible people.
No, continue. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Continue, love please, it. Mark.
I'm sorry.
All right, so she comes up with this crazy plan, and she starts going into executing it, and she comes up with, after Smash. Tying up the body, and Jesus Christ.
That's what I
Jesus
said
Christ.
Too.
I can't get this
you
shit out.
Just keep Come talking, on. Mark.
No. Yo, I love it. Yeah.
I want to hear about the plan.
Let's go.
All right. So her crazy, diabolical way for covering up this horrible murder.
Man, so y'all heard about this Wendy Williams shit?
Yeah.
Like honestly, I'm familiar with it. I've watched the documentary. I can't lie.
You were sitting down with your lady.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Because it was on Lifetime. That's what I was.
She was watching the show, and you know what I'm saying. And truthfully, and it wasn't with my lady. It was actually I was visiting my mama. You know, I was going to pick up some food.
Still your lady.
Nice.
Yeah, so I was picking up some food. And you know what I'm saying? She's sitting there watching it. And I was just like kind of stuck. You know, when stuff be on TV, you just be stuck with it.
Just staring.
So, yeah, man, I seen it. Have you seen it? Has any of y'all seen it?
I haven't seen it, but poor Wendy, man. You know, I don't never wish illness or ailment on anybody. First things first, but, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the same. I wouldn't wish illness or nothing, but I will say this is kind of karmatic.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So yeah. I kind of watched it.
You did the same thing I did, huh?
Yeah, it was kind of like a train wreck, but then it was like, I can't watch this, and I kept putting my head away.
Exactly.
And then I was like, see, this is some bull. Like, I was really cursing at it like it was like a movie.
Cursing at it, why?
Nasty, I'm sorry.
Huh?
Cursing why?
Because what we know, like karmatic, like karma, like, it's like you don't wish it on somebody, but you kind of see why.
Yeah, it's. I would never wish, you know, bad. You know, anything bad to happen on anyone. But at the same time, I do. I mean, she's made her whole living kind of profiting off of, you know, bad talking others and sort of exploiting the pain of others, which is kind of, you know, it's kind of a lot of what her show talked about. So I mean, you know, karmic justice. But again, it's really unfortunate to see that happen. I don't know. I've just been watching the TikToks and a little bit of chatter back and forth. I didn't really sit and watch the whole thing. It's really sad to see, but I don't know. I do have an interesting theory.
What's
because
that?
Let's hear it.
Yeah, what's that?
Okay, oh,
yeah.
So again, I'm not a superstitious person. But I'm really just I'm very, you know,
superstitious.
I'm not. Yeah, yeah.
You're married to a Brazilian.
I'm married to a Brazilian.
You.
Yeah, but
I don't believe even if you're not, someone very close to you is. You know what I'm saying?
No, but she's not even that superstitious. And you know, like we're not even like religious. Like I'm agnostic. Like I just believe in putting right out into the universe, and you know, good It'll things come will come right back to you.
Absolutely.
But I do find it interesting though, because there are some weird similarities. It's just like. Her whole show is based off of sort of, you know, a lot of times talking about the pain, and, you know, she's been, you know, kind of on many occasions, you know, saying some very kind of, you know, elbow kind of cruel jokes, you know, here and there, kind of the joke laughter.
Spewing negativity.
Yeah. For lack of a,
be perfectly honest, Wendy Williams was probably the first podcast.
Yeah.
Like that's what she did. She talked about current topics. And she talked about it in a way that no one was around, even though it was 2 million. It was a studio audience and millions of people.
Right.
So she had to come with the hot takes. She had to come with something entertaining. It's the same way podcasts do. So it's just one of them things where it sucks. Like I said, it's very karmatic because it sucks that because of the nature of the business she was in and what she had to do. This almost seems to have come back to
it, to bite her. Yeah. The crazy thing though is that I've been reading some theories and actually looking into this, and it's like, so after she made a whole segment about making fun of how short Kim Kardashian would be married to Kanye. She thought that was going to last just a little bit of time. Ended up being, you know, a pretty decent marriage, you know, more than, you know, months and months and months. And I think it was a couple of years, I think. Longer than that, actually. Like,
yeah, I mean,
four, it was six or seven years.
Yeah.
Like, a lifetime for Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Yeah.
I mean, three kids, everything.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they're divorced now, but it was at the time she made a whole thing saying she was going to predict it to last like 2 months and this and that. And if it did, lasted longer than that, she would eat a crow.
Yeah.
She did eat a crow. She had a chef come on and cook a crow.
She was really flagrant.
And like the crow in a lot of, you know, cultures is a bad omen sign.
Yes.
And like from a superstition sign, it's good luck to see two crows, but really bad luck to see one crow. So it's like, you know, and then you see her eating that.
So what kind of luck? What kind of luck is to eat the crow?
I don't even know, but if you see a crow and it's bad luck, and then you eat a crow, it's got to be even worse.
It got to be double bad luck.
It's got to be double bad. Also, I just wonder, like, crows are not the cleanest animals.
I was wondering.
Like, is there some type of scientific,
rat
like,
birds.
You know, yeah. Like, could it be, I mean, I don't know. I'm not the doctor. I haven't, you know, but I'm also looking at, you know, ingesting some type of, you know, parasitic meat or something. Could that be?
Like pig and swine.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I mean, I want to hope that Wendy didn't just have somebody go shoot a crow and bring it in to eat it. You know, it was somewhat of
like a
delicacy
kill.
Or, you know what I'm
How
saying?
Are you going to find a clean crow, though?
I mean,
crows are dirty.
Someone might breed crows. You never know. Lord. People,
like
people
a
breed all types of stuff.
Crow, like a purebred crow,
hey,
like
bro,
a clean one.
Hey, bro.
Sure it was a crow and not like a black pigeon?
I don't know. Hey, it was cooked on the show, so we didn't even get to meet the crow. It was just a carcass when they brought it on.
And so she probably had somebody make her a Cornish hen. That's probably what it was.
Something. So, but my thing is you know, the extent that she went to, you know, bring that entertainment, and you know, for me, I felt she was flagrant. And then, like you said, you know, you put negativity out in the world, it comes back to you. So,
but didn't she have like a particular audience? Didn't she have like
people
into celebrities? And she had the LGBTQ,
like the gossip and the LGBTQ. Yeah,
she had everybody.
Yeah,
no, she had everybody. She was Wendy Williams was at a point the voice of New York. That probably then switched over to people like Fat Man Scoop or Funkmaster Flex or even like an Angie Martinez. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Peace.
She's probably the biggest voice in New York, to be honest. You can correct me better than anybody else.
I agree with you. On point.
Yeah, so she had a really powerful voice, so she had a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I can... Yeah, and then from what you're saying, eating crow isn't the best thing to
again, I'm not saying that was it.
That was what she actually did.
That was poetic.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah,
it's,
right? Yeah,
absolutely.
And again, I'm not saying that's what it was. I mean, I know her son was saying that she's been struggling with alcoholism for you know, a long time, which obviously can be very detrimental. You know, so it's...
Was that the end of her marriage, right? She always used to talk about Kevin and Kevy Kev. And
yeah, I mean, she was drinking a lot, and then... Earlier in her life, like she said, in order to stay up to do some shows as busy as she was doing a lot of drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I'm
not
surprised.
Hey, are we cooking? Oh, shit, we cooking? Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Absolute DMV Podcast. It's your boy, Ace Boogie.
Okay. Yeah, we're cooking.
Cooking crow.
We've been cooking for this long. That's crazy. Yeah. We've been cooking crow. It's your boy, Ace Boogie, here with a few good men. My man, Mark.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
My man, A-Train.
I'm right here, right here.
And we got our good man, Swank, back.
What up, what up, what up? Good to be back.
And not last but not least... Ego on the boards.
What up, what up, what up, what up?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, how you feeling, Swank?
Man, fantastic, man. Good to be in the presence of you gentlemen again.
All right, good. Glad to know you made it back.
Survived
whatever the DMV tried to do to you.
listen, tough people last.
Hey, man, tough times don't. I feel you, brother, I feel you. So what's it called? What we got going on today, man? I'm looking.
Yeah. Ooh. Let's talk about that. that event happened back in the day. Mark, I mean, Mark might know about that.
Oh, so you're talking about the Lululemon murder, right?
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that actually is something that happened. For those of y'all who don't know,
Hold up. This is a history lesson.
All right.
A DMV history lesson by Mark Toure.
All right.
So y'all pay attention.
I got to get a sound.
School's in session. Right? School's in session.
A history lesson presented to you by Mark Toure. The Lululemon
get, you know what? I'm going to get that Reading Rainbow.
Oh, yeah, the Reading Rainbow.
Reading Rainbow.
No, but so the Lululemon murder took place, gosh, early 2010s, but happened here in Bethesda, Montgomery County, and really, shook the town. And there's been, a bunch of, true crime stuff. There was even, a Netflix documentary about it and an actual movie that used that as inspiration. And it's crazy because I lived through it, you know, at the time living in Bethesda. And, you know, I actually recently was, learning a little bit more about it. And the facts and reality from what I've learned were totally different from at the time, which I think part of that was I think the police were trying to kind of keep certain details under wraps because it was kind of a really scary crime. For those of y'all who don't know, there was a murder at the Lululemon store, hence the title of the crime, where an employee named Brittany Norwood basically got caught attempting to shoplift after, you know, ending the work day, and her manager, you know, caught her and reported it. She then lured her back into the store by saying, "I forgot my wallet," and then went ahead to brutally murder her for the next 20 minutes with over 300 different stab wounds.
God damn!
Because she didn't want to get fired or whatever. She had a total mental break, lapse of reality. And it was crazy because the people in the Apple store, which shares a wall with Lululemon, this is right on Bethesda Avenue, the main strip, the shopping restaurant center of Bethesda.
Definitely downtown Bethesda.
Yeah, super upscale, nice stores, you know, obviously Lululemon, you know, nice stuff there. And people at the Apple store apparently heard this screaming and rummaging and things falling. And someone in the store goes to their manager, an Apple employee goes to another Apple man and says, what's going on? Do you hear this? He puts his ear up to the wall. And he basically says, "Oh, it just sounds like they're scuffling. There's a fight. You know, nothing like that." Later on, you know, the police, you know, obviously tell what has happened, and after the fact, then he's like, "Yeah, okay."
So the Apple stores are filled with geniuses.
Basically, yeah, geniuses who couldn't figure out
there was a murder happening next door.
What an irony!
You know why? Because they didn't have the Apple Watch on them, or any device of Apple running at that time. So
it's crazy because it's like the bystander effect. You've got these employees who are hearing the same thing together, but they're seeing each other not react. So then they're thinking, "Oh, well, it's probably not a big deal if so and so isn't alarmed. If he's not alarmed, then should I be alarmed?" And one of them speaks up, but then one of them's like, "No, it's probably not a big deal."
But bro, can you imagine committing murder so you don't get caught shoplifting?
Yo.
That's next level.
It's crazy.
What? I really think about that.
Now, the crime gets even crazier.
Hold on. Let's talk about what nationality was this Uh-oh. Person.
Her Uh-oh. Name was Brittany Norwood.
I mean,
you guess what it is.
I'm going to guess. Should
we guess? Or do we have
guess? I'm going to guess.
Okay. Go ahead. Take a guess.
Brittany Norwood, who was working at the Lululemon store in downtown Bethesda, was a young Caucasian girl.
Yeah, unfortunately not.
Oh my God. Norwood, she was? She was.
Moesha? She was Moesha. Oh, no. She changed. She might have had a different name. So no, it was her name, but it was a black female.
When I saw the name Norwood, I was like, maybe.
Yeah. That'll throw you off.
But I was hoping.
I was the same hoping. Thing too.
Somebody in the equation was white.
I'm sure.
Yeah, of course.
The snitch.
Yeah. I saw you.
It's so funny. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm sorry. To family of whoever.
We're not. Whoever was involved. Yes, we're not clowning on the situation.
That was completely insensitive. I'm sorry. Everybody got canceled. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
But we're just pretty much saying as our opinion.
We're more joking on Britney being an idiot right now than actually your daughter passing. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call her a snitch like that. Britney's an idiot. Of course,
no one deserves this to happen. No, absolutely not.
Especially for doing your job. In all seriousness, especially for doing your job.
Now the crime gets even crazier there because not only did
edit
like shit no bullshit definitely
no wow.
All right, so the crime gets even crazier there because after this murder takes place, Brittany kind of snaps back to reality and realizes what she's just done, which is murder her manager brutally. Like blood all over the store, shopping, you know, memorabilia items all over. It's like, it's a mess. There's no way that she's going to be able to clean this up and have it go on, not look like a crime scene. So then she drives. She comes up with this plan basically, and it ends up with her driving her coworker's car, which was parked in front, up the street to the farmer's market, which is like a historical sort of parking lot, and there's like a market there. At like 3 a.m, and she parks it there and then walks back, and she comes up with this very elaborate plan. She comes back to the store and executes that plan. She takes Lululemon sneakers and dips them in the blood and makes it look like shoe prints have been walking around, sneakers that are men's sneakers.
Wow.
And then ties up the body of the victim. And then cuts herself. Lots of just, you know, surface laceration.
Yeah, little
cuts.
Yeah, just wow. Nothing big. But and then
time
also,
out, time, I'm sorry to cut you off. I just read something that says she did it over a pair of leggings.
Yeah. Well, hey, Lululemon leggings are nice.
Expensive leggings,
though.
Man.
That's right.
Yeah, Lululemon is no joke.
Those are like $150 a pop.
But so. No, all jokes aside.
But no, definitely not worth this reaction.
With the picture that I just saw, the first thing that came to mind was Smash or Pass. I'm sorry.
All right.
Yeah, all right, we're terrible people.
I love it. I love it.
Continue,
love
please,
it.
Mark.
I'm sorry.
All right, so she comes up with this crazy plan, and she starts going into executing it. And she comes up with, after Smash. Tying up the body, and Jesus Christ.
That's what I
Jesus
said,
Christ.
Too.
I can't get this
you
shit out.
Just keep Come talking, on. Mark.
Yo, I love it.
I
want
to hear about the plan.
Let's go.
All right, so her crazy, diabolical way for covering up this horrible murder that she just committed is she ties up the bodies.
Yes.
And then waits, I guess, for the next shift to arrive in the morning. The next shift arrives, and she opens the door and is like, holy crap, like, what the hell is happening here?
She stayed there overnight?
Yeah. So she tied up the body of the person that she murdered and then tied herself up with all these lacerations on her and used like zip ties on herself and then just waited overnight. Because that's part of the plan. The part of the plan is that the next crew comes in, they see the store in a wreckage. She goes out, finds some passerby, they end up looking at it, and they call the police. The police come in, they go in, and they hear Brittany pretending to be wounded and screaming, and come out here, and they bring her out, and she tells a story that two guys mm-hmm. who are white and racist, and it's kind of like a juicy Smollett thing, where they come in and are saying just the most horrible, racist stuff to her, and then proceed to kill the victim who was murdered, rape her, and then kill or attempt to kill Brittany, but then decide that they're going to leave her alive, but then they rob the store or whatever. She comes up with some crazy excuse.
So you're telling me that this racist group who hates Brittany decides they're going to kill someone else?
I know.
Brittany.
Her story is so flawed right from the jump because she says it's a racist group. But, you know, again, she's African-American and the victim is white. And then on top of that, it's like they left her alive. And for no reason. They didn't seem to rob the store. They just seemed to go in there and do this senseless killing.
Anti-KKK. No.
Yeah, but you know,
we're gonna only protect our women.
No, black people aren't good at lying though. That's just, you know,
bro. That shit.
Hey.
No, but that's the truth.
Black man don't cheat. And 31 yeah. wounds.
It was brutal
with six different weapons.
Now,
wow.
When I was living in Bethesda at the time, living through this, people were on lockdown because this is such an unusual crime. First of all, Bethesda is like a pretty safe place. There's rarely ever any crime, rarely ever any murders.
Nothing happens here.
Never a murder of this brutality over and some magnitude. Leggings, man. And especially everyone's going off of the story that Brittany is told, because at the point, police are buying the story. They're treating her as a victim. Initially, they're thinking two crazy guys came in with the sole purpose of robbing and raping these female employees. Robbing and raping.
Did they rape anyone?
They allegedly, that's what she's claiming to the victim. And that they're claiming this is part of her story.
Okay.
Now, eventually her story begins to unravel and it ultimately culminates with the police bringing her back in. They're trying to locate the car as well. And when they locate the car for the employee, they find out that a beanie is in the car that has Brittany's hair follicles in it, older hair follicles, and many of them. So it's clearly her beanie that she's been wearing for a while and has her blood on it. And her blood, a mix of her blood and the victim's blood on the steering wheel. Wow. So then they talk to her about that. They kind of catch her in a little lie, which then makes them think, all right, she's lying about this. What else is she lying about? She then shifts her story, saying that after killing the victim, that they told her she needed to move the car. And she moved the car and drove it up to the parking lot and then walked back on her own. Neither one of the so-called intruders came with her to make sure she was not just going to drive away. And keep in mind, at the time, the police station is two blocks away from the parking lot where she parked the car.
And when did they tie her up? They tied her up before she drove?
Theoretically, she walked, parked the car, and then walked a block back to the store where they were waiting for her to then tie her up and cut her and leave her there. So her story seems right away pretty flawed. Like, why wouldn't you just drive a block more and go straight to the police? You know, why wouldn't you, you know, call for help? Why wouldn't you, once you're in the car and you're on your own, why would you willingly go back?
And they killed the other victim. They killed the victim already.
Killed the victim already. But of course, there is no they. It's just her. Mm-hmm. So her whole story comes crashing down. She's got life in prison now. So that's the whole story. But at
them leggings, boy, those leggings.
Those leggings.
I don't care how much them leggings cost. I'm not killing nobody over those leggings.
They need to make a movie for this.
Oh, they did.
They did. They did.
Oh, wow. There's a couple.
There's a couple. Yeah, so there's a documentary about it. Right. This is part of a Netflix like series. I forget exactly the name of the show, but then there was a movie that loosely based around this, where it's like an actual movie. Leggings.
I blame Lululemon for not paying their employees enough or giving a good enough store discount that they got to steal leggings.
Although, to be fair, this person, Brittany Norwood, like her brother, who was kind of like trying to defend her in some of the police interrogations, like, he right away was like, you stole that shit, didn't you? Because like, I guess she's had a history of stealing and stuff. Holy and crap. He's like trying to defend her, being like, look, like what happened? You know, like, be honest with me.
Let me ask this question. How do you think she concocted this story? Is this something like she watched some TV program that had some kind of similar, like, how do people come up with stuff like that?
I was just say, Jussie Smollett should have realized from this that it ain't
going to
work.
It's not going to work.
Let me, you know how they say men cheat, but they get caught. Women cheat, but they don't get caught. Okay. Maybe not.
Look, she held on to this lie until the bitter end, until the, like, all the evidence was against her. Like, her blood was in the car, her hair was in the car, like, her story didn't add up. They'd already found the shoe that she dipped in the blood and made her look like footprints because she was dumb enough to stash it on a storage closet in the back room. So they found that shoe with her fingerprints on it and then clearly are able to say, there was never any men in here wearing shoes. Why would the men wear Lululemon shoes? Why would they take off the shoe and leave it in the store Why'd they go home shoeless? Right. There were no other shoes missing. Did they take a new pair of shoes? No. Aristotle's story made no sense.
I think it just came down to fear. She did freaked out. Yeah. She did it, freaked out, you know.
Did she admit to it? Did she finally say, okay.
I think, at the end of the day, she did finally admit to it in the court proceedings. It's crazy because at the time, they kept certain details from the public, like how brutal the crime was, like how many stab wounds. At the time, I thought she was murdered with some blunt objects, like a stapler or something. I didn't realize it was like, you know, it was essentially was like a switchblade, you know, or like
weapons,
a box cutter.
They said it was a weapons catch. They had like hammers. They had.
What was her relationship with the manager?
She did not like her manager, bro.
Well, so the thing was about Britney is that Lululemon had suspected her for stealing for some time. So, like, employees would notice missing items from their purses. Items would just seem to disappear out of the inventory. So they'd already talked and said, like, look, we can't do anything unless something's on camera or we catch her red-handed. So they installed cameras, and they basically said, look, if anyone sees anything or something goes missing or we catch her, like, call so-and-so, and then
somebody
we're going to terminate
up and said something. That's what I think will happen.
Exactly.
I think someone's like, oh, I got you. They're like, oh, you got me, huh?
Yeah.
Freaked out.
Bruh, she's a sick individual.
Klepto? You got klepto went crazy? Because
at the end of the day, it's like the worst that would have happened is she would have lost her job, and she didn't even get through with stealing the object. So there's not, I mean, I don't know how.
She stole other objects, and she's got, I guess, she got away with those, and she's like, I can keep going.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't even know if they could file a police report if she attempted to steal something, because, like, they still have the inventory. Like, they still have the
item. Yeah, they couldn't do anything with the past.
The worst that would have happened is that she would have lost her job.
Don't they get, like, employee discount at Lululemon?
Like what, 15%, probably 10%, maybe, like,
fire-ass leggings, you know?
Attempting to steal is a crime, though.
Yeah, but can you prosecute someone for that?
Yes,
but you have to have evidence.
It's shoplifting.
It's shoplifting.
You know, it's shoplifting.
Even if you didn't actually get away with the item,
it's still shoplifting.
Yeah. So, but the thing about it is, I think for it to be proven in court, or if not, they have to see how much this is worth, right? Because it's a certain amount, right, that you can be convicted for,
like a petty crime versus
a petty
an
crime
actual
versus.
Crime.
It has to go past a certain point. So. Even though, yeah, they could say, okay, we can lock her up. It could only be like, you know, a quick lockup.
Yeah, because what is it? Is grand theft is like over $500, right?
I think something like a misdemeanor. Yeah. The misdemeanors.
Yeah.
But it's misdemeanors.
Misdemeanor.
Look, these leggings were nice, but they weren't $500. So worst that would have happened is she would have lost her job and getting potentially prosecuted with a petty crime misdemeanor. So at the end of the day, she's got life in prison now for doing a way, way worse crime.
I'm sure she's kicking herself in the ass like, the fuck, damn.
I'm sure they're probably doing that in prison, right? So she's not by herself.
They're walking around with Lululemon right in front of her. Oh, my God. And then you're like, ooh, look at these.
You guys are terrible.
Well, that was a history lesson brought to you
by Mark. Thank you,
Mark. Tune in next time for another history lesson from the DMV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.